Welcome to PMA Takes on Tech, the podcast that explores the problems, solutions, people, and ideas that are shaping the future of the produce industry. I'm your host, Bonnie Estes, Vice President of Technology for the Produce Marketing Association, and I've spent years in the ag tech sector. So I can attest, it's hard to navigate this ever-changing world in developing and adopting new solutions to industry problems. Thanks for joining us and for allowing us to serve as your guide to the new world of produce and technology. My goal of the podcast is to outline a problem in the produce industry and then discuss several possible solutions that can be deployed today. This series of PMA Takes on Tech is powered by our sponsor, Sensatech. Sensatech's innovative supply chain solutions help customers retain quality, manage supply chain risks, and reduce costs associated with transporting food shipments around the world. Ensure that you have the visibility you need when you need it to increase efficiencies. Learn more about Sensatech's suite of real-time visibility solutions at sensatech.info/PMA. The series is also powered by Driscoll's. Driscoll's is the global market leader of fresh strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries. With more than 100 years of farming heritage, Driscoll's is a pioneer of berry flavor, innovation, and the trusted consumer brand of only the finest berries. In this episode, we dive deeper into the R&D collaboration between Driscoll's and Plenty. In case you don't know Plenty, they are a vertical farming company in South San Francisco, California, that has raised a total of $500 million. Their last round that closed in October was $140 million Series D that was led by existing investor SoftBank and Driscoll's as a new investor. The two companies had been working together on a joint development agreement to grow strawberries. Driscoll's was so impressed with Plenty's technology, they decided to invest in the company and deepen the R&D partnership. This is such a fun conversation to hear about a collaboration that is really successful and is 1 + 1 = 10, as Nate says. The two R&D groups are top-notch and are able to work and react quickly to their learnings, given how fast things can be tested in an indoor environment. Nate and Scott talk about where the partnership can take them globally with superior berry attributes. Let's jump into the conversation with Scott Komar, Global VP of Driscoll's R&D, and Nate Story, co-founder and CSO of Plenty. So welcome, Nate and Scott. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Well, we're going to start with the Driscoll story. So, Scott, if you could tell us a little bit about Driscoll's.
Sure. Well, I'd like to start with our mindset, Vonnie, which is really embodied in our mission statement. And it's very straightforward. It's to delight our berry consumers. And so I hope I'm talking to a berry consumer here of Driscoll.
Oh, yes.
Okay, great. All right. We're off to a good start here. And so we want to continuously delight our berry consumers through alignment with our customers, our retailers, and our berry growers, our independent berry growers. And we're privately owned. Our family, the Ryder family, is still very much leading us through our growth and expansion. The company now is over 100 years old. And today, we reach over 350 million consumers, 22 countries, 6 continents.
Wow.
A little over $4 billion in sales. You can see the products in the background, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. And from an employment standpoint, we're now, around 7,000 or so direct employees of Driscoll's. And then through our grower network, these are all independent growers working with us. There's over 900 of those growers. And we estimate that their employment reaches around 115,000 employees worldwide. So it's quite an enterprise and just a reflection of the huge demand for berries around the world.
That's an amazing footprint. And I appreciate it every time I open my refrigerator door.
Okay.
So what does the marketplace, the consumer and other customers value in terms of product innovation?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we can see through, you know, take your favorite retailer, but when you visit their store, you can see how prominent produce is set within that store. And going a step further, berries have really been put to the front of that part of their store in the category. And the reason for that, we believe, is that the consumer is really looking for something healthy and flavorful they can bring home to their families. So our mindset really centers around flavor, and that goes back to our mission statement, continuously delighting consumers. We want to delight them through flavor. And so our brand, first and foremost, conventional organic, really stands for that consistent, delightful flavor. But we can go a step further. And I think today we'll probably have an interesting conversation about, you know, breeding and genetics and so forth of plants. But we can go a step further with flavor. And there are occasions where we can offer something just really remarkable. I mean, something that you're just thrilled to bring home to your family. And so our innovation for us really comes on those two levels. Every year, we're adding to our core offering of products. And so we'll introduce a new variety that continues to notch up the quality and flavor of our everyday offering. And then at certain times of the year, it could be under a sweetest batch label or rosé. Maybe you've seen those products, but they're really an exceptional flavor and eating experience. And so both of those levels provide us a nice avenue for introducing new product innovation.
And how do you look at trying to service and delight customers in different cultures around your flavor profile? Do you think about different parts of the country and what they might or and the world they might want differently?
I think this is an interesting question because it gets at the heart of what, you know, are there strong consumer preferences that are distinctly different by continent? And I would say at this stage in our journey, Bonnie, we have a mindset where we're really just trying to satisfy the demand that we see globally. So I'm talking about not only North America, but throughout the European continent, Asia, Australia. And so that's the stage I'd say we're at, where we're really striving every day to provide that delightful flavor. But we do see on a horizon that there could be differences, you know, how a European consumer values a certain flavor profile of a strawberry, we think could be different than in Asia, for example. And so this is something that we're gonna explore as we stay close to our consumers. And we do believe it's gonna unlock a level of product innovation that so far we really haven't crossed yet.
So that kind of brings us to what we're here. So why invest in Plenty, and how did you guys end up talking to each other and getting interested in working together?
Yeah, well, I'd like to start with really the wellspring within Driscoll's, which is our R&D group. And so these flavorful varieties that we bring to the consumer come from many years of dedicated breeding and careful selection. And so, of course, flavor is our strongest trait that we breed for, but clearly also yield and certain characteristics about the mouthfeel, the color of the fruit, all these aspects. So it's a very complex picture. And Driscoll's has a dedicated R&D group, which I think, you know, sets us apart at a certain level of innovation. And so it's that wellspring that is feeding our system globally that I mentioned earlier. That being said, of what Plenty has innovated, we find particularly interesting in a couple of ways. One is that there are regions in the world that are very difficult to reach, even with the most capable supply chain. And so I can share an example, you know, like in the Middle East, where there's not much of anything growing out in some of those regions.
Yeah.
And yet we have fantastic consumers there that enjoy our fruit. And so we see with indoor farming possibilities where we can reach globally in partnership with them that we could not do with a standard supply chain. So we're very intrigued by that. Other conversations that Nate and I are having is that there are varieties that come out of our R&D group that probably are not going to adapt very well to say traditional growing methods, but they have a really intriguing flavor or some aspect that we think the consumer would really appreciate. And we have a hunch, you know, we're just starting this journey with Plenty, but we have a hunch that there'll be some of these varieties that will just flourish in an indoor farm. And so there we can bring another level of innovation to our consumers, continue to grow the category, and continue to delight our consumers.
Wow. Yeah, I've done some work with your R&D group and different functions that I've had over time. And I've always been so impressed on how just interested in looking outside you guys are, you know, which is different than a lot of breeding companies where you everyone's looking at what's going on outside that we can bring inside and you know, continue to improve and innovate. And I think that's unusual for a breeding company, my experience anyway.
And it's a fun experience. We, I can think back a couple of years ago when I was at our research center and a couple of our scientists had come back from Hawaii and found, you know, a wild species of blueberry that was off.
Oh, wow.
Meat colors. And so, you know, I was like, well, let's bring it in the program, you know? So, yeah, they can come from all corners of the globe. And that's the amazing part, as we all know, of science. I mean, the possibilities when you understand how complex and vast the plant genome is, then we know the possibilities are truly limitless. I mean, it's just truly every day is a wonderment.
Yeah. I did a podcast that came out this week on looking at personalized nutrition, and it was interesting in that everyone I talked to, I was pushing them into saying, okay, we can know this now, you know, like you're going to tell me you're going to make my food more nutrient dense, and I'm going to be able to know what that is, and I'm going to be able to know from my personal genetics what I should eat. And basically, I kind of got the information that we're not quite there yet. but I think that in the work that you're doing and the work that you're doing with Plenty, I think that brings us a step closer and starting to understand what can we do around nutrition in addition to flavor. Are you guys talking about that as well?
Well, I can't say that that Nate and I have kicked that around yet. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and I'll let Nate share. So he's got a heavy lift going on right now for sure.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
You're right. You know, Vonnie, you're right. There's this wave of, you know, food is my medicine, and I can understand the connections between my own unique, you know, genetics and how food responds, but also how food can benefit my health. And that is, we see that entering, you know, really the mainstream of consumer thinking. And so no doubt, as we continue to unravel the genome, we're going to come across some really interesting insights from a nutritional standpoint as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be fascinating. And so I want to pivot and get over to Nate, but just I've heard you talk about this, Nate, a little bit, just about around, because you're able to dial so many different things up and down, you know, in your farms, that you're going to have some good control on being able to do some nutrition work, and at least in the greens that you're working in. But stepping, why don't you answer that first and then go into just talking about Plenty and give us an idea of who Plenty is.
Yeah, I mean, control is at the heart of what we do, right? So like we really view Plenty as being on this continuum where we started in the field and the field was a rough and rugged place. You know, 10,000 years ago, you're out there with a stick scratching a furrow, right? And planting seed by hand. And you look at where we're at today, right? It's been this constant evolution of the field towards more and more control. We're out there, we're laser leveling, we're controlling our fertilizer inputs, we're controlling as much as we possibly can outside of the weather. And we view Plenty as kind of being at the end of that continuum, right? We went from the field and the greenhouse industry arose, you know, starting around 150 years ago, we started to see this idea of more control is good for humanity. It's good for society. It allows us to grow things out of season. And that evolved. And Plenty is kind of at the end of that continuum. So yeah, you know, we think about environmental control, but you know, to your point earlier, you know, we're thinking about nutrition, we're thinking about flavor, we're thinking about all the things that we can manipulate. You know, we've got our genetics, we've got our environment. How do we go out there and manipulate both, right, to get to the right outcome? And that's the right outcome for plants. That's the right outcome for people. That's the right outcome for the planet. See, I worked our mission in there.
Very good.
But at the end of the day, you know, like we are kind of kicking open the door to things like personalized nutrition. We're kicking open the door to being able to grow things that people want and need. And you know, that's really at the heart of this partnership with Driscoll's. You know, there really aren't that many folks out there who care about both the genetics and their consumers. They're always separated from their consumers, right? By growers, by distributors, by these other things. And Driscoll's is one of the few companies in this space that deeply cares about the consumer experience, right? Cares about giving their consumers something really awesome. And so, that really stood out to us as we were looking at this, because I think we're really well aligned there around going out and giving consumers something that's delicious, something that's nutritious, something that's consistent, and giving it to them year round.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that as far as the alignment between the two companies. I mean, if you walked into my kitchen right now and opened up, you'd see boxes of Plenty and boxes of Driscoll. And because I live close enough to buy Plenty, but that the two companies actually have that alignment of, you know, you're producing and you're involved in the production side of it. And you're involved in thinking about how do we grow? How do we, you know, what's the genetics? What do we do here? And then you're also touching the consumer. And so you really, and the whole supply chain. And so you really are very vertically integrated, both of you. And you have that consumer voice in your ear, which is different than a lot of companies. Like you can't not listen, right? You won't sell product. That's very cool.
We can, I think it's a great call out, Bonnie, that as the two companies are partnering here, not only is the end to end, you know, starting with the genetics all the way to the consumer, it's directly connected, but you can imagine the turn time that we have is greatly shortened. So in fact, just yesterday, Nate and I were meeting and, you know, we check in every couple of weeks and we were just discussing about, okay, well, some of these plant varieties are showing this indication. Okay, great, that's working nicely. Okay, now I can go back to my team and say, well, let's find some more of that and we'll bring it forward. And then we put it in Nate's magical factory over there and we'll see how it performs. And so this, we anticipate the cycle time of you know, input from the consumer. Here's what they like. Okay, we go, you know, right back to, great, let's pull forward these genetics. Let's maximize the Plenty growing system. Get in front of the consumer. What do they think? You know, that cycle time, it may be a record-breaking cycle time for our industry. We'll see.
Yeah, I would bet. Because you don't have to contend with what season is it and, you know, do I need to go plant this someplace else? And that really does get you much faster. Yeah. So Nate, just most of the people in the U.S. probably know who Plenty is, but there's a number of my listeners who are outside of the U.S. and may not have read as much about you. So can you just give us some background on Plenty and what you guys are working on and kind of what the state you are in development right now?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, Plenty is an indoor farming company. We're a vertical farming company. And we grow plants in giant warehouses, basically. We build farms indoors. And what that does is it gives us complete control over the environment. It allows us to really manage the plants for maximum growth, maximum flavor, maximum nutrition. And that's kind of been our focus. We started the company because we realized that, you know, the world needed basically three times as much fresh fruits and vegetables as it produces today. So, you know, globally, we're only producing about a third of what we need to feed kind of this growing population, the growing middle class, the demand that is rising around the world. And there's only so many places that we can do this really well and economically at scale. And so Plenty was really kind of created to grow the size of the world, the size of the production capacity of the world. So we built Plenty to that end. You know, today we are building kind of our first mega-sized farm down in Compton. It's going to be the first of many mega-mega-sized farms. And these farms are really...
Are you saying what size it is publicly? Are you guys saying like how many...
It's the equivalent, I'll put it this way. If we went out and we bought enough land to produce the same amount of value, we would have to go buy around 720 acres in the Central Valley. So a little over a section of land, you know, a section and a quarter, condensed into a building that's roughly 2 acres. So, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of the scale and also kind of an idea of how much land we can basically pack into a pretty small package. And if you were to walk into that farm, you would see the actual growing space is probably only about a third of that total floor layout.
Square footage, yeah.
Yeah.
And when are you planning on opening Compton?
So we're going to be running Compton, you know, about midway through this year. It's going to be up and going. And then we're going to spend several months getting it going. And by the end of the year, we should be pretty close to 100% capacity of that farm and debugged and running smoothly.
Wow. And is it, you know, I always have to be careful because I'm so interested in what you guys are doing and I don't want to ask stuff that you don't want to answer that's not public. So just tell me if I ask you that.
But,
are you growing the same crops that you're growing in South San Francisco or is the product mix going to change a little bit?
We're going to be growing the same crops plus a number of others. So we're going to be taking a larger product portfolio to market down there. Yeah.
And did you iterate much? I mean, I know you guys are the king of iteration in the South San Francisco, the number of, actually got the privilege of spending some time there when you guys were first building and you were tearing things down and building things and tearing things down and building things. You know, every time I went up there, it was like something was torn down and built up and which is amazing that you can iterate like that. And I think that's why you've grown and learned so quickly. Is the Compton farm a complete iteration from what you have in South San Francisco or is it kind of the same?
It's a massive leap forward for us. So, you know, technologically and frankly, from a product standpoint too, you know, to Scott's point, this ability to go really fast is one of our fundamental advantages, right? We're growing out a crop, you know, crop a week, basically. So, you know, what many farmers in the field takes them many, many years, right? Of learning to accumulate the same amount of data and understanding of their crop conditions, the market factors. And we can do that in a week, right? Sometimes less. And so, you know, for us, just this iterative cycle is kind of at the heart of what we do. Build the data, right? Understand the data, make decisions off of the data. And that's kind of at the heart of, I think, one of our advantages in the space, right? And one of the reasons we've been able to go as fast as we've gone. It feels slow sometimes. Because we're impatient.
To you.
to us. It feels slow. But it really is quite fast in kind of like the agricultural timescale.
Yeah, definitely.
One comparison I might give if we get a little techie here for a second is that the data that's being collected through the Plenty system, it is really impressive. It's unlike anything I think I've seen, you know, in other forms of growing. And in a way, if I use an analogy, it's, you know, back in the day, if something's going on and then the physician says, well, let me take an x-ray and we'll see. Oh, yeah, here it is. You know, that gave a certain level of insight. But now, you know, with a CAT scan or an MRI or whatever, it's a whole nother level of insight into what's going on. And that's kind of the analogy here with Plenty. Mm. Well, they're running their trials and then they're sending back to our plant physiologists and breeders data. It's rich data and it's giving us deeper insight from a scientific standpoint. And of course, you know, in this whole picture, you can see the ways in which the artificial intelligence, machine learning is this engine. You probably, you know, Nate, you can call it here, but I would imagine this couldn't even be done without that core capability and harnessing these data sciences. So this level of data science is a whole new level, I think, we're seeing, certainly, you know, for our experience, and I would say for our industry.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunity to collect this kind of data, as you have, you know, these farms that are, you know, more and more controlled, right? So in a field, you've got to figure out how do you power a device out there? How do you control for all of the conditions around that device in, you know, trying to understand the plant experience? You've got to control for a lot of things that have nothing to do with the plant. And in our farm, you know, we can measure the plant directly. You know, we're able to go in there and take, you know, temperature and humidity measurements in kind of these vast arrays in the canopy, outside of the canopy. We're measuring all of the energetics of the system at any given second, you know, microsecond in time, you know, light levels and all of these things, because they're consistent and because they're controlled, they're not measurable. And, you know, we're able to kind of go up these down these layers of data, you know, getting into like fluorescence data, getting into like these really these forms of data that have historically really been constrained to the lab, right? Because what we've built is a giant scaled lab in a way. And that gives us an opportunity to understand plants and plant metabolism and their physiology at a whole new level. And we're far from perfect. We've got a long ways to go on this, but you know, it's pretty amazing how that data becomes really, really useful. And, you know, as a scientist, I know we're off track here, but as a scientist,
this is perfect.
as a scientist, the really exciting thing is, you know, historically, it's been very difficult to bridge the applied and the fundamental sciences, right? There's this bridge kind of, this divide kind of formed, you know, about 20 years ago, especially, right? There's kind of this separation of the fundamental and the applied. And what we're seeing is that in our farms, we're bridging that gap really effectively. And now, like, this really fundamental physiological data about the state of the plant becomes useful in our decision making and our understanding of the farm and our understanding of growth rate, our understanding of quality, our understanding of all of the things that matter to us economically as a business. And so, you know, I think we're on kind of the cusp of an entirely new kind of agriculture, of, you know, an entirely new opportunity for the world and for people to eat really great food, and for us to produce that food with incredible efficiencies and in a way that's really great for the planet. So, you know, data is at the heart of the business. We couldn't do it without it. And certainly we couldn't achieve the massive multifold yield gains and improvements in quality and shelf life and all the things that we're focused on over the last couple of years without it.
And Scott, have you had to hire differently? Like, it must be hard to keep up with these guys, you know? So have you had to hire some data scientists and some people that can kind of interface and understand how to use the data in what the work is that you're doing?
Okay, well, I want to say... I want to call out the competitiveness of the Driscoll's team here, because for us, picking Plenty was, we saw an opportunity to have two groups that are very aggressive and very innovative, you know, coming together. And so we're challenging ourselves with these learnings and the feedback loop that's going back and forth between two companies. So that's kind of fun. Now, what I'll say is, as we're, let's take this as the core of the indoor farming wave, okay? And Nate, he might want to touch on also, you know, I don't know when the last time you had a chance to tour their facility, Vonnie, but, you know, some really cool things around robotics, for example. And look, we know when we work with our growers that are growing outdoors, they might be growing in soil, they might be growing in tabletops. Those are challenging environments for robotic machines to rove around and try to get that exact pick at a certain speed that's, you know, commercially attractive. And they'll get there, but imagine, you know, building on Nate's comment about this indoor lab, this indoor factory, it really does provide some advantages where we can innovate quicker, let's say, with something like robotics. You can imagine, you know, the harvest of the strawberry being done. And we know that some level of these learnings we can take back to our other growing systems around the world, whether it's, you know, traditional greenhouse or hooped growing or just open soil. So that there'll be a certain benefit that'll come back to all forms of growing, mm-hmm. and kind of lift that whole, you know, sector. But we expect some really neat, you know, breakthrough innovation will come first from the teams working together in this environment.
Yeah, I've got to jump in and say, you know, like the Driscoll's team brings incredibly deep expertise to the table, right? So, you know, we have before we started working with Driscoll's, we were working on strawberries for a couple of years. So we kind of got to learn the ins and the outs of, you know, how do you work with this crop? You know, how does this crop behave in the systems? And, you know, working with the Driscoll team has been a breath of fresh air. And trust me, they have no problem keeping up with the data. They've looked at similar data, right, for decades, and we're just starting to touch on it. And so this really is like a 1+1=3, or maybe like more like a 1+1=10 scenario, right? And both of those teams are phenomenal. And it sounds like I'm just like marketing the partnership at this point, but I'm not. It's been remarkable how great the teams have worked together. You've got two teams that are passionate about the same thing, right? You know, the Driscoll seems like, how can, you know, what does quality look like coming out of the system? It's new, it's exciting, it's interesting. We're measuring things in ways and with kind of a frequency that's impossible in the field. And you've got the Plenty team who's just soaking up, you know, how can we learn more about these strawberries? How can we work together to make the right decisions around cultivar selection? How can we make the right decisions around the environmental, you know, aspects of the farm? And so even though it sounds like super rosy, like we're really just marketing the partnership, at the end of the day, it's been a delight. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really wonderful to hear. That's the kind of partnership where you do the contract and you put it in the drawer, you know?
Exactly right. It's just well. A document somewhere in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know that you're focusing on flavor. What else can you tell us about the hopeful outcomes of the program? And I know some of this is probably not talked about publicly, but whatever you can talk about of what you're working on in addition to flavor and variety selection.
Well, I guess I'd highlight two things. I'd go back to the robotics. For us, you know, labor is a shortage worldwide. Okay, that's no mystery for our crop or any crop, and so our ability to innovate with a robotic harvest is a big deal, and if we can get some breakthroughs in our working and with the Plenty in their environment, then that's a big deal for us, and we hope that, you know, that day comes in the near future. In addition to that, there are ambitions we have with our global footprint I mentioned earlier of being on six continents and so forth. You know, I can tell you that getting fresh berries to the consumer every day in Shanghai is a crazy complicated supply chain. Okay.
I bet.
That is just it is a puzzle. But so are most every major city in the world. I mean, they weren't built for easy distribution of perishable goods, you know. And so we envision this footprint of these, you know, these large indoor farms, like the one Nate mentioned in Los Angeles. But that's our ambition. We see these being placed around the world. They're probably going to be in, you know, mega urban environments or these, you know, extreme environments like the Middle East that we talked about early on. And the beauty is it, you know, that indoor farm is you know, can be replicated around the globe. And between our two teams, we've already identified that, you know, the optimal genetics for the optimal growing system. And so we can then start to build this global network and have a way of getting, you know, some really special fruit to these consumers every day, you know, just 52 weeks a year, super fresh. So there's a really intriguing, you know, global network here that we have in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I would just add to that and say, like, you know, for us working with Driscoll's, especially to this end of growing the global supply of berries, right? Growing the global opportunity to consume really great, fresh, delicious, you know, strawberries anywhere in the world, is a great demonstration of really what we set out to do. You know, and obviously we've got a lot more work to do, but it's a great demonstration of this idea of growing the world's agricultural capacity, right? Growing the size of the planet, and growing it to meet the needs of people. And so I think, you know, Driscoll's has led the world in for a long time, you know, in genetics and quality for strawberries. But there are still these incredibly difficult problems to solve that are so tied to just the way agriculture works, right? We can produce in one place, we've got to get it to another place. You know, and that's a problem that Punty can solve. And so so I think, you know, this is representative of really what we set out to do. Obviously across a lot of crops ultimately. But for now, you know, showing how this problem of getting strawberries to everyone in the world can be solved with indoor egg and with Plenty.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Nate and Scott. As indoor farming is growing and taking its rightful place in food production, I see additional advantages to this collaboration. What they learn about robotics and plant science and breeding will be a great advantage to both the indoor and outdoor growing of fruits and vegetables. The speed at which we can gather and analyze data around breeding in the environment will support and grow the industry. That's it for this episode of PMA Takes on Tech. Thanks for allowing us to serve as your guide to the new world of produce and technology. Be sure to check out all our episodes at pma.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, and I would love to get any comments or suggestions of what you might want me to take on. For now, stay safe, eat your fruits and vegetables, and we will see you next time.